You may want to hold that entire passage, as all of the message will come from these 11 verses. While you're turning, I was excited to see in the announcements that our website, though it's been up now for a good while, had 274 visits already this year. And more than 100, I don't know how many, I didn't see it on there exactly, but I know that in excess of 100 people listen to sermons on that website. So we are preaching beyond the walls of this assembly. I don't know who all's listening, but I know a number of people are. Amen. And that's exciting. People that can't get here, we can still get there. And so that's wonderful. Thanks to Sister Melinda and keeping that up, doing a great, great job. We know we just got some great folks in this church.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks do a lot of work that nobody ever sees. And I want you to know I appreciate all of you and all that you do to help us to fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given us here. John chapter 8, verse number 2, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And he sat down and taught them. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, my, what a lesson. Woo! My, what a lesson. The Lord bless you. We're going to talk a little bit about his lesson today. My, what a lesson. Amen. Jesus was teaching three audiences at the same time. He was teaching all the people. He was teaching the S&P, the scribes and the Pharisees. And he was teaching one woman. But my, what a lesson. I don't know what everybody got, but my, what a lesson. God can teach on every level, all at the same time. In this message today, in this house today, different individuals will take from this sermon different things. Amen. And God will proportion in this discourse into different lives what people need. That's just the kind of God he is. My, what a lesson. Jesus had come from his favorite place of prayer. He had come down into the city of Jerusalem the day after the Feast of Tabernacles. And he was teaching in the temple. This is the big time. What I appreciate about Jesus is he'll teach anybody, anywhere, that'll take time to listen. Jesus taught some of his greatest lessons to an audience of one. He didn't have to have a big crowd to be at his best. He preached the same, and he taught the same to everybody, everywhere. Amen. That's a good lesson for us here today. Amen. We need to be at our best, whether it's one or it's a thousand or however many. We need to do our best. Yeah. Amen. I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm just called to the big churches. No, you're not. If that's your idea, you're not called at all. Amen. Some are called. Some are sent. Some just packed up and went. Amen. Amen. But if you can't preach and minister to an audience of one, then you really have no place in ministry at all. Jesus taught us. But here he is, folks. He's in the big time. He's at the temple now in Jerusalem. And millions are in Jerusalem. And the city's filled overflowing. And the Bible says all the people came. A crowd as far as the eye could see, and he's teaching them. Now, that's amazing to me. You know what I like about the Bible? We need to restore this custom. It says, and he sat down. I do all the work. Y'all just get to sit there. Amen. But he sat down to teach them. Now that tells us something, doesn't it? If I just sat here and taught this lesson, half of you would be asleep in 10 minutes. We're used to entertainment. We like theatrics. Oh yeah, we do. We like to be entertained. It ain't preaching unless you're moving, brother. If you're not shouting and running aisles and doing double back flips, it ain't anointed. If you're just sitting there, you must not be very spiritual. Now we're meddling. But Jesus was sitting down teaching the people. Now, my, what a voice. If he could reach as far as that crowd went. That tells you that folks must have really been listening. So he's teaching a lesson. Everybody's listening. And all of a sudden, the service was interrupted as far as everybody else would be concerned. And we saw some men as they began to push their way rudely through the crowd. And they're dragging with them a screaming woman. And they push their way through the crowd. And the audience is entirely arrested. Everybody's attention is drawn away from the Word of God. And all they can see are these rude men in their wrapped in their righteous robes, shoving people out of the way, dragging with them this woman. And they come and they literally thrust her down before Jesus. And then they turn around and they say, so everybody could hear, Moses, said this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. Moses in the law says that we should stone her. What do you say? The next verse says that they could tempt him. Their motive was revealed. Jesus knew the motive. Did you know sometimes the reason your prayers are not answered is because the Lord knows the motive? It's not just what you ask out of here. It's what he sees in here. Now, it's true. That's what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 22. There was it spoke of a woman, a betrothed girl, that got involved in an adulterous relationship. And the Lord said, take them out. Or Moses said, take them outside the camp and stone them. Leviticus chapter 20, it talks about they be put to death, but it does not give us how they're put to death. In the Mishnah, which was the codified law of the Jews, a male, and doesn't talk about the woman in that case, but the male is to be buried in dung up to his knees and a towel put around his neck and two men pulled in opposite directions until they strangle him. God takes adultery seriously. Adultery is a physical act, while idolatry is a spiritual act, but they both have the same motive and the same root. They both violate the most sacred trust. And that's why adultery is so odious to God. Because it breaks the bond, the most sacred bond that two human beings can enter into. The Bible said that man and woman become one flesh. That's how closely knit people become in marriage. And to break that bond and to invite another outside individual into that relationship is the most blatant disregard for love and trust that one can imagine. So there is no way that we can ever justify the sin of adultery. We are not in any way, Jesus was not in any way trying to lessen the infraction and the sin of adultery. But he was teaching a great lesson. So they come and here they are demanding and quoting the Word of God. I've noticed a lot of folks that can quote the Word of God cannot live the Word of God. Amen. It's got to make a journey from here to here. And if it doesn't make that little journey, it's not worth anything to the individual. Amen. If you can just quote it here and condemn others. And I've known folks that use, as these men did, they use the very Word of God to do the same thing that her adulterous partner had done. They were using this same woman that they were accusing another man of using in a different way. She was not a person to them. She was not a soul to them. She was not anybody that amounted to anything to them. She was just a means to an end. She was an object lesson. She was a tool to get at Jesus and try to crush Him in the sight of the crowd. Jesus saw right through their motives. Thank God for the Holy Ghost we talked about today that will help you to discern properly not only what people say, but what people mean. So they drug her into the presence. They threw her down before Him. Amen. And what an object lesson. Well, you talk about an object lesson. This is an object lesson. Now, it may have veered away from the topic He intended to talk on that day. But not a master teacher. You know, sometimes you can teach more by your silence than you can with your speech. In the beginning, it wasn't what He said, it's what He didn't say. The Bible says when they drug the woman in and threw her down at His feet, can't you imagine the crowd? Their eyes were big as saucers. I guarantee you had everybody's attention. There wasn't a peep anywhere. People were agape. What is going on? And they were waiting. And He just stooped down. Started writing in the sand. You know, silence can make people real uncomfortable. And He didn't say anything. And after a while, those guys, you know, they were getting a little fidgety. They started squirming like a worm on a hook, because they were. They were on the hook and they put themselves there. You think God will have a sense of humor? Wiggle, little buddy. Wiggle. It wasn't supposed to go this way. We were supposed to reveal Him as heartless and cruel, unjust. They thought He was compassionate. And all of a sudden, He's not saying anything. What are we going to do? They got nervous. And after a while, they said, well, come on. It's getting real uncomfortable over here. And God's just turning up the heat. Amen. And the Bible says He stood up and He looked at them, and my, what a lesson. He said, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. The Greek's even more graphic. It says this. It says, let he that has not wanted to do the same thing. Cast the first stone. And here's what's interesting. The Bible says, and he knelt down. And he started writing again. And there's another interesting word here. The word to write in Greek is grapheme. But what he was doing was katagraphene. Katagraphene means he was writing against. In other words, he was recording things that was against them. So I don't know exactly what he wrote. He may have just put a time in the dirt, an initial by it. And somebody's mind clicked and they thought, I didn't know anybody knew about that. It may have been an address. It may have been a number. It may have been some initials. I don't know what he wrote. But the beautiful thing is this. He wrote in the sand. And time could erase it away. Amen. Praise God. At this point in time, God likes to keep record in the sand so it can be blotted out. But if we do not take the appropriate action and deal with our sins here, they will be etched in stone and we will face them on the other side and they can never be removed. So he stoops down and he writes it in the sand. And when they start, they look at what he wrote. And it says with the elder. You know, young people are more impressionable. The reason they are is because old folks should know better. So beginning with the elders, the ones that should have known better, they start dropping their stones and walking away. Until finally, and Jesus just kept writing. The oldest guy walked away and he wrote something else. The next one went away. And he wrote something and the next one went away. And by then, they couldn't wait to get out of there. Don't write anymore. We got the point. My, what a lesson. My, what a lesson. So the S&P learned that he knows. Amen. And the crowd learned, don't put Jesus on the hot seat. Don't try to put him on the spot. Amen. He'll turn the spotlight right on you. Amen. They couldn't wait to get out of there. They thought that they didn't go out the same way they came. They came in full of cocky and full of arrogance and confidence. We're going to squash him like a bug. And they went out just creeping like a dog with a tail between their legs defeated. Amen. And let me remind you, he knows. He knows the time. He knows the date. He knows what was said. He knows what was done. You know, it's in his record. He knows it all. But listen, it's written in the sand. And if you want to get rid of it today, he'll help you. He'll blot it out. He'll wash it away. It'll be forever gone. Nobody will ever know what he wrote but you and he. Nobody else will ever know. Just you and the Lord. But you got to deal with it today. Don't leave it on your record until you get to the great beyond. Then it's going to be a different story. Amen. So, he taught about authority. Authority is not to be just critical and censorious and condemnatory. Some people, that's what they think authority is. It's just to tell other people what to do and how to do it. Amen. Brother Martin, you see that a lot on your job. People that because they're on one side of the law live one way when they're there and another way when they get outside the walls. Judges can sit on a bench and pass down a law and a sentence and leave the bench and do the same thing. Legislators can sit in a house and make a law and pass a law and then leave the legislative chambers and not be subject to that law and violate that law and flaunt that law. What a hypocritical bunch we are. Amen. Preachers can stand in the pulpit and preach one thing and leave the pulpit and do another. Saints can come in a church door and sit on a pew and profess one thing and leave the pew, go out the doors and be totally different people. What a duplicitous people we can be when we make up our mind to do so. Be careful about your authority. I've met people that are so critical of us but can't see themselves. Fault in others I can see, but praise the the Lord, there's none in me. How deceived we can become if we're not careful. My, what a lesson. My, what a lesson he's trying to teach us. If you are going to exercise authority, number one, you need compassion. You're not qualified without compassion. You've got to try to do some understanding. Amen. It's one thing to just know the law and quote the book, but it's another thing to understand. I'm flesh just like you are. Amen. I've fought the same devil you have fought. I have faced the same temptation that you have faced. By the grace of God, I may have made it through. But I'm no different. That's what the Bible said. That when one has fallen, the Bible doesn't say condemn him, crush him, censor him, punish him. It says restore him. Considering also yourself, lest you fall into the same temptation. Thank my, what a lesson he taught that day. Amen. He taught about attitude. That woman was nothing but a tool to be used to get what they wanted. If you're not careful, you'll use people. Amen. Somebody wrote a song years ago that said we need to love people and use things instead of using people and loving things. But we're living in a day when people love things and use people to get things. Amen. Hey, don't ever lose the focus here. This is about people. This is about folks just like you and me. Amen. You be careful. You check your motive whenever you're trying to deal with a situation. Amen. Don't you use somebody just to get what you want. And we can do that so easily because our heart will deceive us. We'll cover it up with some kind of excuse. Oh, yeah, shake your head like this right here. Ah, what a lesson. We'll cover things up if we're not careful. Hey, amen. We've got to watch our attitude. You've got to watch your attitude. You've got to watch your motive. Hey, amen. Somebody said, I don't remember who it was. Paul, somebody. Anyway, he said this in his writings. He said the Bible is a book of names. You've been doing your Bible reading. You've come across a lot of names. And you think, why in the world are all those names in there? Because God looks at people. And there's nothing more personal than a name. What he's telling us is, this is personal to me. And I never forget people that do things for me. And I know them by name. God does not just use you as a person. Amen. When the angel came, he called Mary by her name. God deals with us personally by name. He doesn't just see us as a tool to be used and discarded, but he records the name. Hallelujah. Amen. When we get to heaven, folks, there are going to be some names up there. And God's going to have some things recorded by your name. Because He knows you as an individual and not just as a tool. He's so different than people. Amen. Names are important. So the Bible is a book of names. God is telling us this. I know for doctors, Sister Hart, it's real easy to identify cases just by the malady, not by name. Oh, yeah, oh, so-and-so, that's the gallbladder. No, she's not a gallbladder. She has a name. And she's a person. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. People will lose their identity. And we can't let that happen. Jesus is teaching us every single individual has value. And don't forget that. Amen. And then Jesus preached to the little lady. After everybody had gone, he was still there. And she was still there. Still there. Perhaps the sobs had quieted. Isn't it amazing how calm we can become in His presence? You can come into His presence so broken, so full of pain, so full of agony and hurting, questions and shame and guilt. But if you'll just stay in His presence long enough, the sobs will subside and peace begins to descend. And questions straighten out and the exclamation points. And there we are. And we don't want to leave. Maybe we can explain why. But we're just not in a hurry to rush away. There was nobody holding her. There were no chains. There was not even an accuser. And yet she remained. God will never force you to stay in His presence. If you stay in the presence of God, it's because you want to. I heard Brother Pugh say one time, he said in his office somewhere, there's a plaque and a picture where he visited the President of the United States in his office, spent some time with him, and talked to him personally one-on-one. And he said, I seldom think of that. I hardly remember what we discussed, what went on. I don't think of that very often. He said, but I never forget. One night in the Texas sand, and he went out behind a feedlot to pray, and a warm summer night. And he said he got to pray and got in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, JT, he said, I'll stay here all night if you will. And he said, I spent that whole night just talking to the Lord. And he said, I've never forgotten that. Now, there are some things that we should never forget. Amen. Don't rush to get out of the presence of God. It concerns me when people get in too much of a rush to get away from the altar or never visit the altar at all. I don't care if you've been living for God 100 years. You need to spend some time at these altars. You see, this is where the Word of God takes root. If you're not careful, you'll be a hearer. And then you'll leave and you'll forget what you heard. But if you'll spend some time with the Lord at an altar in response to the Word, then that can get down in your spirit. And it will do what the Lord sent it to accomplish. Don't get in any rush to leave the presence of the Lord. And so this woman, and I'm hurrying on here. I'm wandering. But she's there in the presence of the Lord. And then Jesus says this to her. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Amen. In other words, he's saying, I am going to defer judgment. I'm not going to condemn you right now. But what you do after this, what you do from this point on, the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. When you get into the presence of the Lord, it changes things. When God talks to you and convicts you for something, then you become responsible. And so here she is, and he says, I'm not going to condemn you. But listen carefully to what he said. He did not excuse her sin, but he told her, he said, go, sin No more. Amen. I don't know what happened after that. That's the end of the story as we have the recording. I don't know how her life turned out. But I do know this. He gave her a second chance. No matter how blatant, no matter how embarrassing, no matter how shameful, I know that was a moment she never forgot all of her life. She never forgot the brutality of her accusers. And she never forgot the compassion of her Savior. Amen. My, what a lesson. What a contrast. My, what a contrast. Amen. And let me tell you something else. Everybody in that crowd never forgot that lesson. Let's stand together. Amen. And I hope today that you and I will not forget. Amen. Help us, God, to not be critical and judgmental. Amen. But help us to be compassionate. Help us to remember that we're just flesh. Help us always to have as our motive not to condemnation but restoration. Amen. Help us to always mix judgment with mercy. Lots and lots and lots of mercy. Praise God. And help us to be people that believe in second chances, in third chances, in tenth chances, in hundred chances, however many chances it takes. You know what's so sad? God knows the heart, God knows the motive. But there are people that have come to church and tried to start again. But because of comments made and judgments made and criticisms made, their return was cut short and they left disappointed. And let me hasten to say, they shouldn't have left either. They got their eyes on somebody else. And they should have kept their eyes on the Lord. You've got to make up your mind, friend. It doesn't matter what anybody says about you. You've got to make it for yourself. You've got to prove them wrong. You can't use that as an excuse to leave God, leave the church. Amen. It's wrong when people are judgmental and critical. That's wrong. But it's not a reason to leave. It's not a reason to quit. Because God didn't give up on you. Said God didn't give up on you. So don't you give up on Him. Say amen. But on the other hand, this ought to be the safest place in the city. People ought to be able to walk into this building with no fear whatsoever of being hurt. Crushed. Amen. This ought to be a place, it ought to be notorious all over Athens, Texas. If you want to go somewhere that people will love you and help you, you go to that United Pentecostal Church. Those folks really love people over there. They really want to help people over there. Amen. That's the kind of reputation we want. Amen. I want a lesson. God help us today. So whatever your plot, I don't know which audience you're in. I hope you're not the S&P. Amen. But he had a message for them too. I don't know how many of them learned it, but he had a lesson for them. You could just be in the crowd, but my, what a lesson. Or you might be the object lesson itself. You might be the one that has fallen and needs to be restored. You might be the one that you feel like you're on display and the spotlight's on you today. But hear me, heaven's calling. That holy hill's calling. And they're saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ye shall find rest for your soul. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Amen. Are you hearing today? There's a voice calling. There's a voice calling. Amen. Heed the lesson today. Come into His presence. He'll give you another chance. He'll say, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Amen. My, what a lesson that Jesus Christ could forgive sins because He's God. It just reinforces He's God. Only God can forgive sins. Amen. Amen. I think it'd be good if we'd come and respond to the word of the Lord today and God's good presence and this lesson that He's trying to teach us here today. Amen. Let's come spend a little time. God, let this seep down into my innermost being. Let your mercy and your compassion and your great love cover my sins. The Bible said love covers a multitude of sins. So let that love come that will purge and pardon and purify and set me free. I need you
to live for Jesus.
God, help me to have the right attitude. Please.
It's my
help me to never get to the place where I see people as things to be used to get what I want.
Like him.
But help me to always see persons with names
so
and value.
Times
help me to see eternal souls.
And bring him much shame.
Don't let me forget. Let me be a man of mercy.
It's
much
my
mercy.
Desire.
Inexhaustible mercy.
To live.
Amen.
For him.
Hallelujah. God, make me a person today. Compassion.
If you could see where
let me have the wisdom to see the motive.
To where I am today.
But at the same time,
then you would know.
Let me to have motive.
The reason why.
Always.
I love
with all that's
so
in me. To seek restoration.